Chaim Aharon. The last shiur we left off in paragraph Yud Dalid in the Hebrew versions of Chaim Aharon in the section Sichos HaShayochim LaHatoros, the discussions that surrounded the chapters of Likutei Moharan. In the English version Tzadik, it was paragraph 140. We were in the middle of that paragraph. Rav Nosson Zalman is writing here about chapter 20 in Likutei Moharan and chapter 21 in Likutei Moharan. And he mentioned the fact that Rabbeinu Zal had yahrzeit for his mother, and it was a leap year, and Rabbeinu Zal had forgotten the yahrzeit, and his mother came to him and reminded him of it. And he immediately called a minyan together. He learned Mishnayos, Kaddish, lit a candle for her, and called a minyan together also, and led the tefillos from beginning to end of the Shacharis, which he said he had never done before in his life. Interesting that we're speaking about this now. Tonight, here in Eretz Yisrael, it's almost Shkia. In a few minutes, it's going to be Shkia. It's Yud Aleph Kislev, the yahrzeit of my Rebbe, Horav Tziari ben Siam, Rebbe Yisrael Abba, Zichron Avracha, Rabbi Rosenfeld. And we dedicate the shir Le'ilei Nishmasai, and also for a complete refuah shalema for all those that need it, the Soich Shar Choyli Yisrael. Rav Nosson Zal writes now that in the chapter on Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal mentions that it was around this time that his daughter, Fega, had passed away. We mentioned this in the previous year. Rabbeinu Zal was traveling. He didn't know about it through any physical means. He knew about it through Ruach HaKodesh. And it wasn't revealed to him until much later when he sat for an hour following the halacha. But Rav Nosson Zal adds here now that it seems to me, based on our understanding, that his daughter, Fega, that had passed away, was named after Rabbeinu Zal's mother, Fega. And the chapter in Likutei Moharan, chapter 20, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about a special neshama from which all the Bi'uri HaTorah come from, and that neshama experiences major bitterness, marirus, and that sometimes that neshama has to pass away. Rav Nosson Zal says, it appears to me that that was also related to this whole story about Rabbeinu Zal's mother coming to him at that time, because his mother was a great tzaddikis. Rav Nosson Zal says, I once heard from Rabbeinu Zal that his mother was a balas ruach hakodesh. And Rav Nosson Zal says that all of Rabbeinu Zal's words and the stories that we tell over about him, there isn't any one of them that doesn't have very deep, awesome secrets related to it, especially regarding the things that his children, that Rabbeinu Zal went through with his children, because he writes that Rabbeinu Zal's children were in the category of those who are above the 600,000 neshamais of the Jews. We find Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in a short chapter on Likutei Moharan, Torah Reishayin Gimel, chapter 273, Rabbeinu Zal says there that there are children that are born into the world, standard children, and they generally, their neshamas come from the Kisei HaKovod, which is associated with the Olam HaBriya. However, Rabbeinu Zal says, there are Bnei Aliyah Gedoyle Moed. There are very, very high-level neshamas that are born that are above those standard neshamas, because the standard neshamos are referred to as the Shishim Riboy, the 600,000 neshamos. And even though there are more than that, there are more Jews than 600,000, today there are millions, that's because they're sparks. These neshamos, as a result of the Pegam of Adam HaRishon eating from Yetz Hadas, the neshamos got split up, and a person today doesn't necessarily have an entire neshama. They could have part of a neshama. But Rabbeinu Zal says, these neshamas that we're speaking about now that are above these 600,000, when they appear in this world, they're not really the type. They're not really accustomed, and they don't really belong in this world. And they're not considered part of this world. And Rabbeinu Zal said, they are in the category of the children of Moshe Rabbeinu, about which the Pasuk says, U'benei Rechavia Rabu Lamala, that the children of Rechavia was the son of Eliezer, Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons, Gershom and Eliezer, and the Navi tells us that Eliezer had one son, Rechavia, and yet the Pasuk says, Ubenei Rechavia Rabu Lamala, the children, the descendants of Rechavia, multiplied above. And the Gemara says in Brachas, above what? Lemala mishishim ribui, more than 600,000 that came from him. And Rabbi Nizal explains this. It doesn't mean necessarily physically more than 600,000. It means that those souls that came from there were above the 600,000 standard souls. Those souls that's brought come from Atzilus, from the highest one of the four worlds. This came about as a result of the fact, the Gemara explains there in Brachas, that at one point Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, step aside, let me destroy the Jewish people, and I'll bring forth a great nation from you. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu did not step aside, but rather Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel to Hashem, and he got Hashem to revoke that decree, because Hashem said those words, I'll bring forth a great nation from you, greater than this nation, it had to be fulfilled, and it was fulfilled in this form, in the form of this pasuk, Ubnei Rechavia Rabu Lamala, that Moshe Rabbeinu was zeicha to more than the 600,000, greater neshamos that were greater than the 600,000. And Rav Nosson Zal's merames that Rabbeinu Zal's children, it seems, were very, very extraordinary, had tremendous holiness to them. And that's why they went through the incredible struggles and difficulties that they went through. And he adds, Rav Nosson Zal adds, Hashem should have pity on them from here on in, that those that remained, the remaining descendants of Rabbeinu Zal, should have life, and arichus yomim v'shanim, long life, and Hashem should bestow his bracha on them and their descendants till the end of all the generations. With this, we conclude paragraph 14, Yudalit. Now, Rav Nosson Zal continues, and he says that regarding chapter 20 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks a lot about the incredible specialness of Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbeinu Zal said that that's the real victory of a Jew when he was zeicha to come to Eretz Yisrael. At the time that Rabbeinu Zal said the Torah, he elaborated on this more. And Rav Nosson Zal points out that when he originally gave this shir, he began with that. He started off speaking about Eretz Yisrael. And he said, Mi sheroitze lihiyos Yehudi, a person who wants to be a real Jew, dahainu, which means leilech midarga ledarga, that this person doesn't want to stay on one level, but rather the person wants to constantly be going higher from one level to the next, Yefsher kiyem alidei Eretz Yisrael. It's impossible to achieve that without Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbeinu Zal said, u'kishemenatzchen hamilchama, and when a person succeeds and they win the battle, they're zoicha to Eretz Yisrael, then the person is called ish milchama, a true warrior. Ki koidem shemenatzchem hamilchama, because before the person succeeds, the Torah says, Al Yishalel Choyger Kemefateach. A person who's putting on his belt, he's preparing to go out to battle, he's putting on his belt on which he has his sword, his weapons, cannot be proud like a person who's removing his belt, meaning a person who already is coming back from battle. Rak Sheminatzchen HaMelchama, it's only when a person is zeichet to win the war, then he's a real warrior. Now note, interestingly, Rabbeinu Zal visited Eretz Yisrael. He did not remain in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nosson Zal also visited Eretz Yisrael. He didn't remain in Eretz Yisrael. However, both Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal encouraged their Talmidim to go to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nosson Zal's son, Rabbi Yitzchak, came to Eretz Yisrael at the age of 60, I believe, and was zeicha to write letters from Eretz Yisrael, describing how special it was. He was in Tzfas at the time, he was in Meiron for Lag BaOmer, and wrote incredible letters about how privileged he felt to be in Eretz Yisrael. My Rebbe, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Evracha, had received a special bracha from his Rebbe, Rav Avram Sternhartz, who saw how deep Rav Rosenfeld's love for Eretz Yisrael was, he told him that Eretz Yisrael is holy, but what you're doing in America is Kodesh Kodoshim, it's holier. You need to go back and you need to accomplish what you're going to accomplish there. However, because you love Eretz Yisrael so much, I give you a bracha, you should be able to come often. And he made over 50 trips to Eretz Yisrael in those days. In the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, when it wasn't popular like today, it was nowhere near as easy as today. And the money for the trips wasn't as easy. But thanks to many of his students, especially the Syrians, the Sephardim, who very often were able to sponsor a trip, he made sure to go throughout the year, and during the summers, he would spend the entire summer, 9-10 weeks in Eretz Yisrael, basking in the light of Eretz Yisrael and filling up his engines with the Kiddusha, with the light of Eretz Yisrael, to be able to go back to America and be able to pass that light, the light and holiness of Eretz Yisrael, to all those that he taught. Rav Nosson Zal continues that when Rabbeinu Zal gave this shiur, chapter 20 in Likutei Moran, he started speaking about Eretz Yisrael, and then he went on to speak about a certain special neshama. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that when Rabbeinu Zal started speaking about this neshama, he became very fiery, and he raised his voice, and he said, "Yesh neshama, there is a certain special neshama that all the Bi'uri HaTorah, all the explanations of Torah that tzaddikim present in the world, they draw from this neshama." And he said, this neshama has to experience a lot of bitterness. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu's sister, Miriam, in her merit, Klal Yisrael had the Be'er. Be'er means a well. A well is a source of water, like the source of the waters of Torah that came in the merit of this holy neshama, Miriam. And Miriam is Miloshin Mar, bitterness. But Rav Nosson Zal writes that when Rabbeinu Zal wrote this Torah, he began from the neshama, and only afterwards he spoke about Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nosson Zal writes, I asked Rabbeinu Zal at the time, when you spoke about Eretz Yisrael being so great and so important, what did you mean? In other words, Rav Nosson Zal couldn't believe that he was referring to the physical Eretz Yisrael that he knew at the time. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal seemed to get angry at me. And he said, I mean this Eretz Yisrael with these houses, with these apartments. Meaning that this that he spoke so elaborately, so greatly about the benefits of Eretz Yisrael, for a person who wants to come close to Hashem, he was speaking specifically about this physical country, Eretz Yisrael, which people travel there. And he wanted that every single Jew, a person who wants to be a real Jew, should travel to Eretz Yisrael, should make sure to visit Eretz Yisrael at least. And even if a person has major obstacles to achieve this, the person should strive to overcome all the obstacles and to go to Eretz Yisrael, because that's called winning. Winning. Winning the battle is when a person is zocheh to come to Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, this is what inspired me and gave me the encouragement that I needed to overcome the many, many obstacles that I had, innumerable obstacles that I had when I wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem helped me to overcome all of those obstacles and the bilbulim, and to be zocheh to come to Eretz Yisrael, and to return to come back home also b'shalom. In Rav Nosson Zal's Sefer Yemei Maranat, the autobiography of Rav Nosson Zal, and in the book Through Fire and Water, you can see the details of Rav Nosson Zal's trip from when he first wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael until he finally succeeded, and everything he went through on the trip, on the way there, and in Eretz Yisrael on the way back. Interesting to note that just like Ezra HaSofer was one of the greatest one of the Nevi'im, of the prophets of Klal Yisrael, the Gemara compares him to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Sifrei Torah that we have today are in his merit, the Sefer Torah of Ezra HaSofer. The Gemara points out that he waited, he did not go to Eretz Yisrael until his Rebbe had passed away. His Rebbe was Baruch ben Neriah, and it was only during the time that his Rebbe was living he felt that that was his Eretz Yisrael. That was the source of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. When his Rebbe passed away, that's when Ezra Sofer went and he took with him all the Jews that were willing to join him in going up to Eretz Yisrael. Now Rav Nosson Zal continues, again, speaking about this Rosh Hashanah, when Rabbeinu Zal gave this incredible shir, chapter 20 in Likud Imran, and Rav Nosson Zal writes, it began the way he usually did, after Tashlich, when it was starting in between Mincha and Ma'ariv, when it was starting to get dark, between the first day and second day of Rosh Hashanah. And Rav Nosson Zal says, I was sitting very close to Rabbeinu Zal, and I was looking at him, watching him very carefully, and I saw that when he quoted the words in the Zohar HaKadosh, Tisha Tikunin Yakirin Ismasrin Ledikna, that there are nine very holy tikunim that were given over to the beard. The word dikna means beard, and the word dikna means elder. Rabbeinu Zal was pulling on his, he said those words, Bekoichois Gedoilois Moid Moid Ad Mitzuya Nefesh. He said the words with such incredible power to the point where it looked like his soul was going to leave him. And he said it with incredible yira, resis vazed, trembling. And Rav Nosson Zal says, to the point where I can't even describe it. And Rabbeinu Zal took hold of his beard several times and was pulling on his beard in a strong way when he said these words. Spoke about these nine tikkunim that the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about related to the beard. Rav Nosson Zal says, we already mentioned in another place that Rabbeinu Zal said that whenever he had to speak publicly, whenever he had to say Torah publicly, when he was about to say the first word, he would feel like his soul was going to leave him. There's a pasuk, Nafshi Yotza Bedabroi, my soul comes out in my speech. And so too when Rabbeinu Zal made Kiddush, there was also that feeling that it's not just words coming from his mouth, it's coming from the depths of his heart. Mamish, this concept of Nafshi Yotza Bedabroi, that his soul is leaving him in the words of tefillah. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, when he gave this particular shir, I saw it with my eyes. I saw the incredible Mesiras Nefesh that he had, that he was spilling his guts when he was saying Torah. Just like we mentioned, the Zohar HaKadosh says, there's a pasuk, Ki Olecho Hoiragnu Kol Hayoim. Hashem, we kill ourselves for you all day. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, this refers to tefillah, that when a person is davening, it's not something that a person is supposed to do in a relaxed state. When a person's davening, they're supposed to put their heart and soul into the words, to really put power behind the words of tefillah. By Rabbeinu Zal, this was not only by tefillah, but even when he was giving over Torah publicly, they saw that his whole nefesh was coming out in the words of Torah that he was saying. Rav Nosson Zal adds now, regarding the discussion about Eretz Yisrael, that once when Rabbeinu Zal was talking to us and telling us the incredible obstacles and dangers that he had when he was in Istanbul and before he came to Eretz Yisrael, the major sakana that he went through, Rabbeinu Zal said that we, his students, will be able to get to Eretz Yisrael easily. We will not have the kinds of obstacles that he had. And if we'll want, will be zoche to get to Eretz Yisrael easily. However, we have to be willing to experience suffering and to overcome obstacles before coming to Eretz Yisrael, because the Gemara says in the beginning of Brachas that Eretz Yisrael is one of three things that's given to a Jew with Yisurim, with suffering. Then Rabbeinu Zal once also commented, there are people whom it seems to them that they want to come to Eretz Yisrael, but it's only if they'd be able to come with in convenient way, easily, without pain, without struggle, without difficulty. But Rabbeinu Zal said, that's not called wanting, because a person who really wants to come to Eretz Yisrael has to be willing to walk to Eretz Yisrael. As Hashem told Avraham, Lech Lecha, go to Eretz Yisrael. Lech Lecha means beraglecha, with your feet. And here we know our Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld told us that one of the great Breslov Hasidim of the previous generation, who Rav Rosenfeld was very, very close to, interesting, they shared the same name, Tzvi Aryeh. Rav Rosenfeld's name was Reb Tzvi Aryeh, and the name Ben Tzion was added when he was a child, when his life was in danger. And one of the great rabbis added the name Ben Tzion. The person who we're speaking about now, his name was Reb Tzvi Aryeh Lippel, Zichron Lavrocha. He was a Breslover who originated from Poland and came to Uman. And everybody that knew him said that the name Aryeh, lion, was very obvious by him. He was a person who was very powerful, physically very strong, and he was one of the Oivdim in Uman. He was one of the people who winter and summer would go out at night for 3, 4, 5 hours in the forest in Ukraine, in Uman, in Breslov, in freezing weather, minus 16, minus 30, and be there for 3, 4 hours screaming to Hashem, koile koilois, in his hispoidedus, in tefillah at the time. And this Reb Tzvi Aryeh Lippel, Zichron Lavrocha, lived in Uman for a while, and then at one point realized it's time to go to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't have money for a ship or anything, so he said, Avram Avinu did it, I could do it too. And started walking to Eretz Yisrael from Uman. And he left, and he traveled, I believe, I don't know all the details clearly, but if some of this is written down, is documented, that he traveled for a few months, and then he realized it's getting close to Rosh Hashanah, and he has to be in Uman for Rosh Hashanah. So he walked back, he went back to Uman. And this happened more than once, that he set out on the trip and then couldn't bring himself not to be in Uman for Rosh Hashanah and went back. Until finally, one last time, he left and he did get all the way to Eretz Yisrael. But I remember hearing from Rav Rosenfeld that he went through Mongolia, he went through all kinds of interesting places and went through different experiences. He was thrown off a mountain once and he made it to Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, he was known as this Aryeh. He was known in Meron. He had a deep love for Meron and would travel there often. And in Meron, people would hear him saying to Tehillim, the Tikkun HaKlali, they heard a lion roaring. And he was the person who was zeichet to be Mekarev Reb Shmuel Shapiro, Zichron Lavrocha. Reb Shmuel Shapiro was one of the most outstanding students in the yeshiva Eitz Chaim, which was known as the best yeshiva in Yerushalayim at that time, under the leadership of Reb Isser Zalman Meltzer, the father-in-law of Reb Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. This was one of the best yeshivas, this was one of the highest places, and Reb Shmuel Shapiro was one of the best students there, and he grew up in a Yerushalayim family, nothing to do with Hasidus. But at one point he met Reb Tzvi Aryeh Lippel, and he saw a completely different league of serving Hashem than what he knew. And through him became a Kuruv to Breslov and also became one of the major Oivdim in Yerushalayim, who was outstanding in Torah, in Tefillah, in Shmiras HaBris. The non-Breslov Tzadikim Yerushalayim would turn to him for Brochos, for Pidyonos, and he was a student. He looked up to Reb Tzvi Aryeh Lippel as his mashpia. This was the one who was mekarev him to Breslov. Talking about Mesiras Nefesh to get Eretz Yisrael. I remember towards the end of his life, Reb Tzvi Aryeh Lippel couldn't wear shoes. His feet were swollen. He wore slippers. But again, you saw that this person in his youth had been a lion. Rav Nosson Zal adds one more point related to this Torah. That after Rabbeinu Zal said the Torah, he said jokingly, Ich hab hein gesagt, farfeier und farwasser. There's a Yiddish expression, when they want to say a person's talking nonsense, they say, Eret farfeier und farwasser. He's talking for fire and water, meaning nothing he says makes any sense. He's talking about fire and water are complete opposites. You can't compare fire to water. So Rabbeinu Zal said jokingly that in this I spoke for fire and water, because in Torah Chof, he speaks about the fact that this neshama, from whom all the explanations of Torah come from, in order for this neshama to be able to receive Torah from the Shekhinah, this neshama has to have diburim that are like hot coals, fiery coals. And in addition, in this chapter on Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal also speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu striking the rock and being able to bring forth water, the waters of Torah, from the rock. So again, in this Torah, he spoke about both fire and water. Now in paragraph Tezayin 16, Rav Nosson Zal speaks about chapter 21 in Likutei Moharan, which is a chapter where he speaks about the seven rungs of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash and how they correspond to the menorah that we have in our face. We know that the Torah says that a person would go to the Beis HaMikdash to see the face of Hashem, Yeiroh es Penei Hashem. And the menorah is referred to Yoiru es Penei HaMenorah, the face of the menorah. A face has a mouth in the center, two nostrils, two eyes, and two ears, like the shape of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the halacha tells us that today a Jew is not allowed to make a menorah of seven rungs to make a copy of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah that we have on Hanukkah has eight candles to it. A person is not allowed to make a replica of that menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And there Rabbeinu Zal speaks about purifying these different parts of the head. And Rabbeinu Zal says there that each and every Jew, according to how the degree that they purify themselves in this world, and according to how hard a person works in this world to try to understand as much as they can about Hashem, about Torah, that will determine in the future what the person will be zeichet to understand. And Rabbeinu Zal commented that there are certain things that a person can do in this world, certain mitzvahs that a person can do in this world, through which a person is zeichet, that even in Olam Haba, they won't stand still at all. They'll keep climbing from level to level and constantly be achieving new makifin, constantly learning new things. Now, in chapter 21 in Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal there also makes mention of Miriam, about the fact that Miriam, the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu, spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. She spoke to her brother Aaron HaKohen, a Loshon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. And she contracted leprosy at the time, and Aaron HaKohen pleaded with Moshe Rabbeinu, please be mispalel for her, that she should be cured. And he said, al no tehi kames, so that she shouldn't be like a dead person, asher mitzbetzeisoy mirechem imoy, that when he comes out of his mother's womb, ve'yochel chatzi besoroy, half of his flesh is gone. And Rashi HaKodesh and the other Mefarshim struggle to explain what that means. In that chapter, Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal gives an incredible, incredible chiddush. Rabbeinu Zal explains, based on the Zohar HaKodesh, based on the Arizal, that if a man passes away without having any children, then if he has a brother, the brother has a requirement to take that widow, this widow that did not have any children with his brother, and the living brother has a mitzvah of yibum to take his brother's wife and marry her and try to bring a child into the world that will perpetuate the memory of the brother that passed away. That child that's born is given the name, is named for the brother that passed away. We're told that in the case of Er and Oinon, the sons of Yehuda, that one of them died, Er died, and Oinon refused to perform the mitzvah of Yibum, and therefore he died also. So Rabbeinu Zal, the Zohar HaKodesh says, but what happens here is there's a problem, because this child that's born is actually the soul of the brother that passed away. By giving the name, by naming this child that's going to be born to this to the living brother and the widow, that's actually the brother that passed away coming back down to this world. But what happens is, now, the woman who was his wife previously is now his mother. She's the one that gave birth to him. If she's his mother, she can't be his wife. He can't marry her. So where is his wife? Where is his zivug? And this is the meaning, this is what's meant in that pasuk. Al not tehi kameis, she should not be like a person who passes away. Vayayochel chatzi b'soroi, and half of his flesh is missing. He's missing his zivug, because he's come down through this process of yibum. And Rabbi Nizal goes into a whole deep discussion explaining this. Rabbi Nosson Zal says, study this over there in chapter 21. And Rabbi Nosson Zal says there's incredible things related to this, because Rabbi Nosson here was hinting to his daughter Miriam, who was the daughter-in-law of the great tzaddik Reb Leibish Mivolochisk. And this tzaddik, Reb Leibish Mivolochisk, traveled, he left Ukraine and he traveled to Eretz Yisrael, and he took all of his sons with him, including Miriam's husband. And she was forced afterwards. Rabbi Nosson didn't really approve of this. Rabbi Nosson had different reasons why he felt they should not go to Eretz Yisrael at the time. But because her husband left, he went to Eretz Yisrael, she ended up following him to Eretz Yisrael. And several years after Rabbi Nosson passed away, her husband died and she went through Yibum. At that time, Yibum was still being performed, and she received Yibum from his brother. And Rabbi Nosson was alluding to this in this Torah Likutei Moran. Any questions?
Rabbi Nosson, what are the things you do to purify yourself in this world so that no one Habal, you can really go up and up and up?
The answer is, I didn't say. Rabbi Nosson Zal does not mention what those items are. And I don't know if Rabbi Nosson revealed it. He simply said that there are uvdois. There are certain uvdois which a person performs in this world, which enable the person to be zeicha even in Olam Haba, to keep climbing from level to level and to achieve nu makifin all the time. This concept of these nu makifin is discussed in chapter 21 in Likutei Moran, and it's also discussed in several other places. One of the main places is chapter 7 in the second half of Likutei Moran, which we're going to be speaking about this evening. This evening we're going to have a suda here in Eretz Yisrael, in memory of Rav Rosenfeld Zichron Avrocha, Sudas Yortzeit, and Bahashkacha, I'm hoping to be speaking about that chapter in Likutei Moran. I hope we're going to record it, and could be in that discussion, could be some of this will come up. I believe possibly what it's referring to, there Rabbi Nosson speaks about the fact that every Jew has a responsibility. The first mitzvah in the Torah is to perpetuate mankind, to see to it that when I leave the world, I leave something behind. I leave children behind or students behind. My knowledge, my wisdom, whatever recognition of Hashem I had, they continue living with that recognition of Hashem and passing it on to the next generation. Because Rabbi Nosson says over there, physical body, a human body, is not yet considered a human being, an Adam. Adam means a person who has das, a person who has recognition of Hashem, that's called Adam. And Hashem wants us to perpetuate Adam, to see to it that even when we leave the world, that number one, while we're living, we're speaking to friends, we're speaking to children, we're speaking to students, so that we're sharing our das, our recognition of Hashem with them, so that even when we leave the world, that das remains in these children, in these students. And Rabbi Nosson says there that the more a person does this, the more a person empties their mind into other people, the more they avail themselves to receive new knowledge from Hashem, new makifin. And by doing this, a person is fulfilling the prayer of Dovra Melech, where he said to Hashem, Ogura ba'oholcha oylamin, Hashem, allow me to live, to be living in your tent in worlds. Worlds is plural, two worlds, meaning that I should be able to live in both worlds, that even when I leave this world, I continue to live in this world. My words continue to live. I'm still teaching Torah. I'm still spreading recognition of Hashem. And this a person accomplishes when they leave behind students or children or recordings of their Divrei Torah that continue to be played. So even though the person is no longer physically living in this world, they're teaching Torah. And if they're teaching Torah, again, they're emptying their brain into other people. They're availing themselves to new makifin all the time. And this is one of the things that my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld was zeicher to. He spent major part of his life teaching Torah. He loved sharing his knowledge with others, and was zeicher at a certain point to realize the value of recording his shiurim. This is, we're talking about the 1960s, when there was no such thing just about. Started recording his shiurim, and Baruch Hashem, we have possibly about 1,000 of his shiurim that he gave on Likutei Moran, the entire Likutei Moran, on going through all the stories of the Navi, going through all the stories of the Gemara in Shas, Ein Yaakov, about 360 shiurim on those stories, and also going through Shvochei Aran and Sichei Aran, the first volume of Rabbi Nazal's teachings. He was hoping to go through all the Sforim, all the Breslov Sforim, and give shiurim in all of them. But Baruch Hashem, he was zeicher to record these. We have these shiurim on our website. We've been privileged to invest thousands of dollars, and we're not finished yet, to purify, to edit those shiurim, meaning to improve the sound quality, to make it easier to listen to. And we hope that this Torah, perpetuating this Torah, is allowing his neshama to continue to go higher and higher. In chapter 22 in Likutei Moran, which we made reference to previously, it seems Rav Nosson Zal is not going exactly in order in this section of Chaim Aran. There, Rav Nosson Zal speaks about a person blowing shofar. He quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where it speaks about a person who's in a ditch. They're in a ditch, 10 feet down, 20 feet down, and the person blows the shofar in there. And the Gemara speaks about a person who's standing outside that ditch, up above, and they hear the sound of the shofar, but sometimes it's hard to tell whether they're hearing the actual sound or they're hearing an echo of the sound. And Rabbi Nazal, in that chapter on Likutei Moran, explains the secret behind this concept of an echo. Why did Hashem create this concept that when a person's speaking in a certain type of location, in a mountain or in a ditch like this, that sometimes when the person says something, there's an echo, a double sound that comes out of it, and how the echo works? And Rabbi Nazal at the time commented that there's a question on something that he said, that Rabbi Nazal said. Because Rabbi Nazal writes over there in chapter 22 in Likutei Moran, that a person who is not attached to the tzaddik like flesh attached to bones, then that person is not able to hear the actual sound of the words of the tzaddik. They only hear the echo. And Rabbi Nazal included this, he related this to that Mishnah. But in that Mishnah, the Mishnah says, if the person hears the sound of the shofar, even if the person is outside the ditch, he's way above, if what he's hearing is the sound of the shofar, then he gets credit for the mitzvah of listening to the shofar. If he heard an echo, then he doesn't get credit. And Rabbi Nazal said, the Mishnah here is speaking about people who are outside, people that are bachutz, they're outside. And Rabbi Nazal had explained that those people who are outside, it means they're not closely attached to the tzaddik. They're not like flesh on the tzaddik. They're more distant from the tzaddik. So then how could it be that the Mishnah says that by them it's possible that if they hear the sound of the shofar, then they're okay? And Rav Nosson Zal says that Rabbi Nazal did not go into answering this question. And he said, anyway, we don't understand this whole concept completely that well. However, Rav Nosson Zal says that from what Rabbi Nazal said, it seems that even a person who is not really close, whose body, whose flesh is not closely attached to their neshama, meaning that the neshama is pulling in one direction and their flesh is still pulling in a different direction, or a person who is not close to the tzaddik. The tzaddik is the neshama of the world. We are compared to the flesh and blood. If we're not really close to the tzaddik, like flesh being close to the neshama, still, if the person will really push themselves and try as hard as they can to listen carefully with every iota of power that they can to listen to their neshama, to listen to what the neshama is saying, or to listen to the words of the true tzaddikim, then there's hope for that person can hear the true sound of holiness. However, it takes this extra effort. It takes a person really wanting this and really fighting very hard to listen carefully. Just like it says in the Mishnah over there. Because a person who's blowing shofar outside there, it doesn't take any major figuring out. If you're hearing the sound of the shofar, it's pretty obvious that you're hearing the sound of the shofar. You can tell whether it's the sound of the shofar or an echo. It's only when the blowing of the shofar is done inside of a ditch or something like that, now it requires figuring out, what am I really hearing? Am I hearing the actual sound or am I hearing a copy of it? And Rabbi Nassau explains this over there, that a person who's blowing in a ditch, meaning a person who finds themselves in a deep ditch, in a very low place, and there that person cries out to Hashem. Remember, the sound of the shofar is supposed to be an expression of us crying out to Hashem. The person cries out to Hashem over their sins. There, it requires this havchana, this being able to see carefully if they're hearing the actual sound of the shofar or not. Because such a person, even if they're not actual basar, if the person will try really, really hard, they'll be able to hear the sound, the actual sound of the shofar. Whereas a person who elevates their flesh and blood, they overcome the materialistic desires of this world, and they see to it that the flesh and blood should be subservient to the neshama. They see to it that the body is following the lead of the neshama. Or a person who really makes every effort to come close to the true tzaddik, that person doesn't have to struggle. They you don't have to figure out what they're hearing, because that person is definitely hearing the sound of Kedusha. Rav Nosson Zal says, this is how I understood this whole discussion. One more comment on that chapter in the Likutei Moharan, chapter 22. There, Rabbeinu Zal mentions, he quotes a pasuk, Hein Yitain Bekoiloi Koil Ois. In that chapter in the Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal introduces the topic of Azus Dikdusha, holy Azus. We know the Gemara tells us two things about Azus, two contradicting messages. The Gemara says, Az Ponim Legehenim, that a person who has chutzpah, a person who is brazen, it's a one-way ticket to Gehenim. And on the other hand, the Gemara says, Hevi Az Kanomer, that in order to come close to Hashem, in order to start your day, when a person goes to sleep at night and they want to get out of sleep, they want to start their day, it takes azus. It takes gvura, strength, strong as a lion, and it takes azus. It takes brazenness. Because the Yetzer Hara says, who do you think you are? You think you can be religious? You think you can talk to Hashem? You think you can be spiritual? You think in this world it's possible to become very spiritual? And a person needs azus digdusha, a certain brazenness, to say, I don't care what he says. I don't care what anybody says. I know that this is the mission of a Jew in this world, to come close to Hashem. And this is what the tzaddikim tell us, and I'm going to follow their guidance in order to live a proper type of life. So now the question is, this azus, that on one hand we're told, as ponim legehenim, and we're told, the Gemara says, lo nitna toira lebnei Yisrael, elo mipnei she'azenhein, that the Torah was given to the Jewish people only because we had this azus. And there are two interpretations of this. One interpretation is that the Jews are the greatest mechutzafim. We have the most chutzpah. And therefore, we are the ones who needed the Torah most to tame us, to calm us down, to control our chutzpah, our azus. There's another interpretation that is that the Torah was given to us because we showed brazenness. We showed that we weren't afraid. We had guts. The other nations, when Hashem offered the Torah to them, their response was, 1 minute. First, I have to see what it's all about. I can't sign on a document without knowing exactly. Who knows? Maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's too hard for me, etc. And sure enough, because they showed that attitude, Hashem showed them something which they would find difficult. And they said, no, it's not for us. We're not interested. It was offered, the Torah was offered to all the other nations. When it came to Hashem offering the Torah to the Jewish people, the response was, Nase v'nishma. Nase, first of all, where do we sign? We're committed. We agree to fulfill everything it says. Now, when you have a chance, you'll explain to us what this is really all about. They showed such a level of trust in Hashem and a level of guts. Person who's not afraid to jump into something without checking it out carefully. This is called Azus Tigdusha. And Rabbi Nizal says in that chapter that in order to come close to the tzaddikim, it requires this Azus. It requires this Azus Tigdusha. The Pasuk says, Nehalta v'ozcha el neve kotshecha. Hashem, you led the Jews with ois, with Azus Tigdusha. That's how they came to the close to the holiness, to the seven shepherds of the Jews, to the tzaddikim. So Rabbi Nizal there speaks about Azus Tikdusha, and he says that one of the places where a person can display this Azus is in their koil, in their voice, speaking words of Torah, words of tefillah. That's how we show our Azus. Based on this pasuk again, Hain yitain bekoiloi koil ois. He gives forth with his voice this ois, this strength, this power. The first letters of yitain bekoiloi koil ois spell the word Yaakov. We know that we are referred to as the children of Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael, and Yaakov Avinu is praised for his koil. Hakoil koil Yaakov, vahayodai midei Esav. That Esav's ois, Esav's strength is in his hands, his fist, his sword, fighting with his hands. Al charbe chotichya, and the power of Yaakov, the koil, the azus, the ois of a Jew, is our koil, the koilos of Torah and the koilos of tefillah, singing Tashem, screaming Tashem. So Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbi Nizal said over there, when he spoke about this, he said that even the sound of coins clanking when a person's giving tzedakah, and in those days mostly they used coins, silver coins, gold coins, the sound of the coins rattling when a person is giving tzedakah, that's also a form of azus, a form of azus tikdusha. Here again, this takes strength sometimes, this takes brazenness. Person worries, if I give away money, what about me? I can't give away my money. What am I gonna have? And it takes a certain ois, it takes a certain strength, and it takes a certain azus digdusha for a person to be willing to be mekayim this mitzvah of tzedakah. The next chapter that Rav Nosson Zal refers to in paragraph Yud Ches, paragraph 18, he speaks about the chapter in the Kutimran, Am Tzu'isa Da'alma Hechakoi. This is one of the debates that took place between the wise men of Athens debating against Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya, who was called Chakima de Yudoin. And they asked him, show us the center of the world. Where's the center of the world? And the Gemara says that he said a name of Hashem, he pronounced a name of Hashem, and he was suspended in midair. That was one of the miracles that he showed them. Regarding this, however, he said to them, right here is the center of the world. So they said, prove it. He said, no problem, bring me rope, and we'll measure it, and we'll see that this is the center of the world. And this is one of those discussions where it's hard for us to understand what in the world are they talking about? What is this really all about? And in this chapter on Likut Imran, Rabbi Nizal presents some of the deepest, Rabbi Shimon Chanya, so he lifted up his finger, and he said, this is the center of the world. They said, prove it. He said again, bring rope and you'll measure it. In this chapter in Likut Imran, Rabbi Nizal begins speaking by saying, da, you should know, sheyesh oyer, that there is a light, which is above nefesh, ruach, neshama, an incredible high-level light. And this is referred to as the Oyer Ein Sof, the infinite light of Hashem. And even though we can't achieve it, we can't understand it, our mind races. We try to reach up to it. We try to constantly try to go higher and higher to get as close to we can as it. But in actuality, we can't actually grasp it. We can't hold on to it. And in this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about performing mitzvahs with simcha, which is how the Arizal got to his level. And Rabbeinu Zal presents incredible, incredible deep concepts in this chapter on Likutei Moran. Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos expounds on this and gives, as usual, a magnificent explanation showing how the concepts in this chapter apply in our serving Hashem. So Rav Nosson Zal says this shiur was given in the summer of the year 5563 on Friday night, during the Friday night meal. And Rabbeinu Zal said this with such yira and with such hislavus to the point where the people couldn't understand at all what he was saying. He was so on fire when he was saying these words. It's only afterwards, after Shabbos, that it was written down in Rabbeinu Zal's handwriting with Rabbeinu Zal's words. Rav Nosson Zal received this Torah from Rabbeinu Zal. We find that by certain great tzaddikim, sometimes there's such an incredible level of hislavus where it's difficult to bring it down, to put it into physical format in a manner that we can understand it. Rabbeinu Zal once said that all of the Torahs that he taught us were brought down thousands of levels from where he first received that Torah. The level on which he received that Torah was thousands, he shrank it thousands of levels down in order for it to be able to be presented to us in the manner that it appears in Likutei Moran or Sipurei Maaseis. Any questions before we close?
Rav Nosson, how do we know a madrega, a level? How do we know a level, like higher levels, in terms of our distinction of where?
I can give examples of this. You have a child who starts learning Torah. They start with learning letters, then words, then they go on to learning sentences, then they learn Chumash, they start with Chumash, then a higher level is to learn Rashi on the Chumash, and Rashi script, a whole other level, then the person goes to Mishnah, then the person goes to Gemara, then the person goes to the commentaries on the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, then this. These are just within the framework of Torah alone. There are levels and levels that are defined. And within the four descriptive levels of Torah, there's Pshat, Remez, Drush, Soid. There's the simple translation of the words. There's the hints. There's the 13 formulas by which Hashem has given the rabbis the ability to expound on the Torah. And then there's the secrets of Torah, the Kabbalah, the secrets of Kabbalah. And even there's higher and higher levels and levels. The Arizal speaks about a Jewish soul, that a person, there are, again, levels. There's nefesh, there's a person who's zeichet to a nefesh. Then a person who gets to a higher level can be zeichet to a nefesh and a ruach. And then a still higher level is a person who's zeichet to a nefesh, ruach, neshama. And within these levels, within neshama, there's levels and levels. The Sifrei Kabbalah expound on this, speaking about the different levels. These are different, describing different levels of recognition of Hashem and of closeness to Hashem, of a person getting closer and closer, where the soul is leading and the body is subservient.
Thank you.
Sure.
Good morning, Rabbi Nosson. I just have a question on the concept that Rabbi Nachman attained level of Yechida. Is that correct?
Correct.
Not just
Yechida, but Yechida Shebi Yechida. The Arizal said that during his time, he couldn't perceive anybody achieving the level of Yechida, which is a level above Neshama. Above Neshama comes a level called Chaya, and above that is the level of Yechida. And Rabbeinu Zal said that he achieved Yechida of Yechida, and he continued going higher. There's still higher than that. We're talking about Tzadikim who don't stop. and tzaddikim who draw on the powers of the previous tzaddikim. It's not that the tzaddik is starting from nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu is in the world. Moshe Rabbeinu made his impact on the world. And all the tzaddikim that came afterwards, all the prophets that came afterwards, drew from Moshe Rabbeinu. And then you had Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, who showed that in certain respects, he said Moshe Rabbeinu dreaded the day he was passing away. He tried very much to push it off. And I welcome this day, and I control this day completely. The sun is not going to set until we finish, until Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gave the shiur that he wanted to give on that day. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai showed that, in a sense, he's continuing from where Moshe Rabbeinu left off. And so on, the tzaddikim afterwards, climbing on the shoulders of the previous tzaddikim and taking things to higher and higher levels. And one of the reasons is because as we, Klal Yisrael, go lower and lower, as we go further down, we need a higher and higher level of light to be able to repair us, to be able to connect us to Hashem.
Thank you.
Wishing everyone a wonderful week. Those that will join us in person and those that won't join us are included, all included. The Torah that we learn is all based on what the quality time that I was privileged to listen to Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha. Shem should help that his aliyas neshama, when a Talmud Chacham has an aliyah, those that are attached to him share in that aliyah. We should be zeicha to share in his aliyah, to get to new levels of emuna, yirah shamayim, tefillah, Torah, be zeicha to merit the coming of Moshiach, the binyan beis hamikdash, meher v'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Shkar.